Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt. Nick.
We're back.
I
don't think we ever left.
This is a new show. It's Sunday morning, 9 a.m.
Yes, it is.
What a huge weekend.
Oh, a great weekend.
Huge weekend.
And we also got Halloween tomorrow, so it's even going to be better.
Happy Halloween, and to all my football teams won big victories yesterday.
Yes.
Huge victories yesterday.
Yes.
Go Blue, football, baby. Go Blue, go Green, because I'm conflicted. I'm a Chip.
Right.
I'm a MSU law graduate, but growing up in Metro Detroit, it's all about Blue.
That's true.
So I
support all of them.
I support all of them.
There we go.
There you go. But huge seminar Friday.
I know.
What a turnout.
I'm so happy to hear that.
I had an opportunity. We've been promoting the Cannabis Legal Group Levitt Law Firm seminar that took place at the Comfort Inn this past Friday. And I had an opportunity to meet so many amazing men and women who listen to this show and the station all the time.
Well, that's great to hear.
They're always tuned in, and they had some really nice things to say about you.
Oh, well, thank you.
They like the fact that I call you Nick.
Oh, here we go.
But what a great seminar, tons of information. Kudos to all the attorneys who were there that participated and the public to gain all that information.
Oh, definitely.
Power is knowledge.
Yeah, it was great information for everyone.
As an attorney with a law firm that specializes in cannabis, I'm also a consultant. So
right.
If there's any townships out there, now most townships have city attorneys and there are attorneys that specialize in municipal law. But what I'm saying to all the supervisors out there and men and women, they may specialize in municipal law, but I specialize in everything cannabis. And if they want to contact my office and speak to Jackie Starr, she does a great job.
I'm
happy to come aboard as a consultant to help you draft ordinances to comply with the state laws.
There you go. That's perfect information.
Huge information.
Yes.
And we're going to be giving out more information throughout the show.
Okay, great.
But first, Nikki. Nikki.
You have a complaint?
Well, I had a situation.
All right.
And I wanted to ask you, it's one of those, what would you do?
Okay.
I'm a guy.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's obvious.
Yes.
And you're a woman.
Yes.
Hey now. That's Howard Stern's. I can't take that from Howard Stern. But I'm at a gas station.
Okay.
2 weekends ago. This has just been bothering me ever since. I'm at a gas station, and as I was leaving the counter when I'm inside after paying for gas and some other stuff, I noticed that there was a crumbled up $5 bill on the ground.
Okay.
I knew I had a $5 bill, one or two in my pocket.
All right.
And that $5 bill was not there before.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's mine.
Well, I would too.
But I look on the ground. I see the $5 bill. I pick it up. The cashier looks at me. I look at her, and I'm thinking, oh, I said, hell, I found a $5 bill. And she looks at me, and so I'm thinking, great. I can't say that it was mine because I just said I found it. So now if I claim it's mine, she knows that I'm an attorney. It would look so tacky.
Yes.
So I ended up saying, look, I had a $5 bill in my pocket, maybe one or two. I'm a guy. I crumble my money up like that. I just do.
Right.
I don't like to carry money, but if I had a $5 bill, it's in my pocket all crumbled up.
Correct.
Point being is I said to her, I can't be for sure if this is my $5 bill, even though I was for sure.
Correct.
I had to give it to her. She said, maybe someone will claim it.
And it was you.
It was my $5 bill.
Say, I'm claiming it.
I couldn't do that because when I found it.
You needed to watch your words that you and saying that you found it when you should have just bent down, picked it up, and put it in your pocket.
I was so happy that I found a $5 bill. Okay. I said, I found a $5 bill. But the point is, it was my $5, so I couldn't be.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
You phrased it wrong, and
we're talking
$5.
But if I didn't, what would you have done?
I would have just picked it up and put it in my pocket if I thought it was really mine. I wouldn't have said anything. I would have just bent down, picked it up, and put it back in my pocket.
But again, she knew me, and all I need her is to go home and say, Todd found a $5 bill and he put it in his pocket and claimed it was his. Who knows?
How does she know what you're picking up either?
I think I did the right thing.
Okay.
I truly believe.
She made $5 that day.
She made $5 that day. I truly feel like I did the right thing.
Okay.
But do you see my point?
I do see your point. It's not what I would have done. If I put my money in my pocket that way and it was in my head that, hey, this possibly fell out of my pocket, I would have just put it back in my pocket.
But I could not be 100% positive that right. It was my $5 bill.
So you just gave her a tip if it was.
She left it on the counter.
Okay. Until you left.
I was upset about that. It bothered me all day.
I can see why.
It was my $5.
It was your $5.
But I had to do the right thing. I look at it as a marketing fee that I marketed myself as a good person doing the right thing.
There you go.
Do you agree with that?
You can go ahead and think that all you want.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt, otherwise known as T-O-double-D. You are Nikki Morissette, otherwise known as?
Nick.
Nick, your new nickname. And yep. We have a huge show.
We do.
No. This show, bigger than any show we've ever done.
Well, let's see.
Can we just, by the way, get the election over with already?
Oh, please do.
Please.
I'm getting tired of it.
I'm writing in a third can. I'm writing in my own candidate.
SpongeBob
SquarePants. No, I'm going to write in my own candidate.
Okay.
You know what really upsets me, though? And I think this has been resolved. The government seeking the return of all those bonuses from the military vets, their enlistment bonuses.
Wow. I saw something briefly on that today, but I didn't have a chance to read it yet. I was just in shock by the title that I read.
Apparently it was, and I could be wrong about this, 6 to 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, the government, I'm not sure if it was the Pentagon or the State Department or just the Veterans Affairs.
Right.
Again, I could be wrong on all this information. I'm not reading. I'm just going by memory. It already happened
last
week.
I don't remember what it said either.
They sent out notices, I believe, to thousands of vets saying, we want you to return that signing bonus.
Unbelievable. And they don't get enough money as it is, and now you're asking for it back?
Well, here's what happened. Those that didn't return were sent to collections. They were sent to the IRS. Interest was tacked on. They ruined their credit, their lives, their families, and put everything in disarray. The government.
Oh, my gosh.
Again, the government. How dare you? I don't care. Let's say it was a mistake. The signing bonuses, there was a glitch, which there wasn't. How dare you? To vets? All the money we waste?
No kidding.
All the money, all the BS that the government spends our tax money on, you have the nerve to ask our men and women to return a signing bonus when they put their lives on the line for our freedom?
They're the ones who need to keep the money. Get the money back from everybody else.
But here's the thing. These people deserve their money back, all the interest, and how do you repair lives?
You can't fix their credit, repair it now. I mean,
it's such a shame.
They shouldn't have asked for that back and interest, the IRS, all this stuff. So that means they're losing their income tax refunds and everything.
Of all the money we spend around the world, okay, I mean on military basis, or how about just supporting other countries, okay?
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
The fact that we treat our vets the way they're treated, year after year, decade after decade, I hope things have gotten better.
I hope so, too, because it really is very upsetting.
There's good men and women who work at the VA hospitals, and they're doing their jobs.
Yes.
And they're just doing what they're told to do by the men and women above them.
Yeah, they are.
These men and women work hard. But it's the people who are the politicians that are clueless.
Yeah, they are. This is upsetting.
I have a lot of buddies who are truckers, 18-wheelers, CDL holders.
Yeah.
I would love to elect one of these guys into Congress or the head of a department.
There we go.
Why can't we have normal men and women who are, you know, single mothers, single fathers, iron workers? I'd like to, you know, because the problem is to run for office, it takes a lot of money.
It does.
And then you have to have, you know, the parties backing you.
Right.
Our wonderful two-party system.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. So the average person, the cards are so stacked against you to run for office. But folks, there's a lot of good people running for office from our local communities.
Right, there is.
But to get to the higher level of government, into the federal level, into Washington, takes a lot of money.
It does.
Everything needs to be changed.
It does.
No, it really does.
Yeah.
I think there should be term limits all over the place.
What about the thing was going on that people voted and ended up switching their vote from Trump to Clinton?
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, there was something that was doing that. They actually watched it, and they had to go up to the counter and have their votes changed
because I'm gonna, switch. I don't feel the system's rigged.
Oh, you don't?
Of course. Okay, Nick.
My opinion.
No. When I say, do I think that the media is biased? Yes. But do I think that our voting process with all the Republican governors that are in every state, do you think these Republican governors want to rig the system in those states against a Republican candidate? Think about that. The system, hold on. The system is not rigged. Is there voting fraud? How could there not be? I'm just saying, I think that the rigging is the media so lopsided.
Okay, I don't think that there's any control over, you know, like the internal state elections. I'm talking about with presidential. We don't have a say in that. I think that is just all predestined.
No, it's not. Listen, this
our votes.
Okay,
don't
I was a political science major.
President.
Well, the issue is you have something called electoral college votes. So there's a big difference. You can win the popular vote. You could win the popular vote and not win the electoral vote. And you lose the election. So in one of our past elections, who was it? I'll have to look it up. Somebody.
See, I just think the popular vote predetermined. Yeah. We have no control.
No, it's not. I don't believe that. Because each state controls, each secretary of state or each state controls what goes on voting-wise in their state. I can't believe that all these Republican governors are going to allow their state to be rigged against a Republican candidate. I want to believe that because I support Governor Snyder.
Okay.
I supported George Bush.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I'm just bringing up a point here.
Right. Yeah, everybody has their opinion, and politics is a very bad subject.
It is horrible. I think you should run for office. Oh, we have a lot of law to get to.
I'd be saving all the turtles.
Right here on the Title XI Law Show featuring Nick Morissette. We'll be right back.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time.
What took you so long?
And if you miss any part of the show, we have 55 listeners now.
We're growing.
No.
That's
great
news.
We are 55 listeners.
That makes me happy.
That does make me happy.
That's great that it's growing as much as it has in this past year.
I want to thank everyone that came out to the conference last week at the Comfort Inn. It was amazing. I met some amazing men and women, and I hope to be a consultant for a lot of their businesses as they move forward under the new laws.
That's great.
So here's some information about the new marijuana laws.
Okay.
Again, let's talk about, there's a big misconception out there in regards to edibles and wax come next month.
Okay.
In December.
All right.
Oh, by the way, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
I can't wait to get more candy corn.
Yeah, we'll talk about what you're going to dress up as. Look, the law does talk and mention edibles and wax. I'm going on the record right now as a defense attorney, and I'm going to say I still would not manufacture or possess wax or edibles.
Okay.
There will be an affirmative defense. So let's say you're in possession of it.
All right.
There's an affirmative defense. But it does. I don't interpret the law right now that says until a later date, such as 2017 or thereafter, where you can actually start processing this stuff. Okay. So that's my advice to folks. Just everybody, you need to understand that things have changed for the better, but it's going to take a long time, a year or more, before things really start to change.
Oh, definitely.
So you better follow the law. You should always follow the law.
Well, yes, of course you should.
But here's the thing, transportation. There's a transportation bill out there. If you're going to be an individual, and let's say you have a grow operation, you're going to cultivate legally.
Okay.
2017 into 2018.
All right.
Actually, you're not going to be able to do anything until March or April of 2018, you can start to apply for licensing in December 2017, but it's not until 3-4 months later that you'll get an approval,
right?
Or sooner.
Right.
And then there's a time period if you get denied. But transportation, if you're a grower and you have a license to grow, you have to hire a transportation company to transfer everything to the processor. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's just
unbelievable.
A lot of people are involved in this whole process.
And then after it's at the processor, you have to pay more costs to transport that product to the testing facility.
Wow.
And then it can be transported to the dispensary.
So that's just another party you got to pay.
Absolutely.
So it's involving like four different parties.
It's unbelievable. I just wish the state would, it's going to be recreational eventually.
Right.
But what are they waiting for?
Yeah, no kidding.
Come on.
By 2020, maybe.
Come on. It's ridiculous. But hey, if you missed any portion of the show, you can catch us on iTunes,
SoundCloud,
and Podbean.
Yep.
Next Saturday, Nicky's the Iceman.
Is it really?
The Iceman coming. Hey, that was a great show with Melissa Workman from IMBA last
week. Yes, it was very informative.
Absolutely.
And I didn't know about that there were that many trails in Michigan, and I would love to be able to do that sometime in the future, get one of those bikes and go on these trails.
Folks, please, if you're operating a motor vehicle on a dirt road, speaking of dirt roads, I wonder if Gladwin County Road Commission got out and brimed, what was it, Tittabawassee Street?
Yes, that
please
is
brime Tittabawassee about. Street for all my friends up on Tittabawassee Street in Gladwin,
yes.
Michigan.
Well, snow's coming, so it might not have
it
to.
It snowed last week. There's a lot of men and women such as myself that are training hard for the Iceman. We're biking hundreds and hundreds of miles. I'm on a dirt road last week in the middle of nowhere.
All right.
I'm on the Mecosta Clare County line.
Okay.
Way in the backcountry where there's not a lot of traffic.
Right.
Folks, if you're in a motor vehicle and you see a biker, because it's easy to see us, we have yellow or orange on.
Of course.
Can you please slow down? And when you pass us, you should be careful, because these cars, I cannot tell you, more often than not, cars are passing us at a high rate of speed, kicking dust into our faces and our lungs while we're trying to be healthy.
Right.
Rocks and debris on a regular basis are thrown right up at us from the wheels.
Aren't they supposed to slow down and move over
a little bit? When does anybody follow the law?
I move over a little bit when I see anybody walking or biking.
If you're on a dirt road and it's dusty.
Oh, definitely slow down.
Do you not, Nikki?
Definitely, I do.
When you're on a dusty dirt road, you know it's dusty.
Oh, definitely. You can tell by looking at your rear view mirror.
If you see a biker or someone walking or running or walking their dogs or kids on that dirt road, why the heck would you not slow down?
Someone doesn't care very much.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Two times last week it happened, and I had to cover my mouth with my shirt to not breathe in the dust.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the gravel being thrown up at me.
That's not safe.
Not safe at all.
No.
Very, very upsetting. Hey, by the way, under the new laws that will take effect, there are towns and municipalities that will opt out.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. So I believe the city of Midland is going to opt out.
So what's that going to mean for the city of Midland?
Midland does not have to change or modify or amend or draft not one ordinance that allows licensing under the Michigan Marijuana Licensing Act.
Oh.
Facilities Act.
Okay.
So if the town opts out, that means they opt out. They don't have to allow it.
So the next step would be?
The next step would be pick a different town.
Okay.
But if the city is located within a county, the question is, what is the county going to do? Because a city within a county, there's multiple cities and townships.
There is.
So just because one city in a county opts out of the law,
doesn't mean the other cities are going to opt out.
Or the townships.
Right.
And none of the townships have ordinances yet. Because folks, in order to apply for a license, part of that licensing process is you have to have a letter from the municipality giving you permission to run that facility.
Oh, definitely.
And you have to show that municipality has an ordinance on the books now drafted to meet the requirements of the state.
Okay.
Did you just learn something new?
Yes, I did.
I told you I'm a cannabis lawyer.
I know, and you know your stuff.
Well, of course I practice it every day. I bet there's people out there who are so tired of hearing me talk cannabis.
Well, you know what? But the laws are changing.
It is so exciting.
There are so many people out there who want to know this,
folks,
and need to know this.
You ever watch Gold Rush with Parker Schnabel and
yes.
the Hoffmans? I just want to say Parker Schnabel.
Just that name.
This is the Gold Rush.
Yes, it is.
As an attorney on the front lines, I cannot tell you, it's unbelievable what goes on.
These next few years are going to be a huge change for everybody.
I just want to make sure that the men and women in the local communities have the ability to open up the businesses in their local communities and not all these outside interests come in with money and take over.
Right.
If I am consulting with the small towns and villages and communities, I'm highly recommending, if any men and women are listening who have authority to enact these ordinances, put a provision in there that if somebody is to open up and obtain a license in your community, that the individual has lived in your community, so they have to partner up with someone in your community.
Right.
Or they have to have lived within a certain mile radius of that community for a certain period of time.
Well, that's reasonable.
It's called citizenship.
Right.
If you're paying taxes, contributing to the education, the school, the roads, and everything to do with that community, why should you? You should be the one to have the opportunity to obtain one of these licenses.
Oh, definitely.
Because there's people from all over the country right now, folks. All over the country that are coming in.
Yeah, and they're going to try to take and monopolize it.
No, I'm telling you right now, I take phone calls. There are big corporations with deep pockets trying to figure out how they can come to Michigan and control what should be left to the control of the people. We don't want this to be a big corporate state.
No, we do not. No, we don't. This is not good.
That's my beef.
Well, that's a big beef to have. Yeah,
and if any politician, local official, or otherwise allows that to happen, then when election time comes, run for office. Put that person out of office.
There you go. You have to do something if that happens.
It's good advice.
It is very good advice.
What a show.
Great show.
I lost a competition last week. I entered a drawing contest.
Okay. And
because
you lost?
I lost. It was an annual. It was the first, actually. It was just a contest to draw.
Okay.
And you had to draw a stick figure.
Oh, boy.
No, how can you lose? How do you judge a stick figure? I mean, you make a body. You just draw a line.
What did you do, hang them?
No, I was never good at hangman. No, I just drew a line down the body.
Right.
I drew little legs.
And little arms.
I put little muscles on the arms.
Okay.
And I increased the size of my stick figure hands to be like Mickey Mouse gloves, the big white Disney World glove.
Okay.
I thought I did great.
Sounds like you did great.
I even gave my little head little hairs.
All right.
I didn't even place in the top five.
Oh, no. Sorry to hear that.
How do you lose a stick figure contest?
That's a very good question.
So during the break, I have to go talk to Jackie Starr. By the way, Jackie Starr, she runs my office. She does a great job.
She does.
She's married to the talented and handsome Anthony Starr.
Okay.
So if you have to get a hold of my office, 989-772-6000. And by the way, I run a blog.
Yes, you do.
I have a lot of great information on my website at centralmichiganlawyer.com. Go to my blog. There's laws on there, stories, information, articles about everything we talk about.
There we go. That's good for people to read up on.
Well, we have to go to break.
Yes, we do.
So take us out.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running and I'm so far from my home.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Nick, we're back.
We're back.
During break, I did call Jackie Starr, who is my alpha female that runs my office and my life.
Yes, she does.
So if you call my office, you're going to talk to Jackie.
Yes, you will.
And
she is super.
No,
she
you
really
do.
Is.
You can't get, in order to get to the attorney, you have to get by Jackie.
Yeah, and if you don't get past Jackie, you don't get to the attorney.
You don't get to the attorney. So Jackie will assist you with everything.
Yes, she will.
Absolutely. Now, during break, we had our own contest, and we were talking about the stick figure contest that I lost.
Right.
You did really well, Nikki.
Yes, I did.
And you drew little hair. You drew like... All women have similar drawing styles.
Squiggly hairs.
No, but all women, if you look at a woman and how they write or cursive, it's all the same.
I don't agree with that because my daughter writes really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's an exception.
So, maybe.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
What are you dressing up as for Halloween?
I think I'm going to go as a cat.
A cat?
Yeah.
What? That is so basic.
Well, it depends on what type of cat.
No, look, what was your favorite Halloween costume of all time that you dressed up as?
Werewolf.
Ooh, I like that.
I was a werewolf for like 5 years in a row.
I was Rambo.
Really?
1985, 86, I was Rambo because I kind of look, do I look a little bit like Sly Stallone?
I can see that.
Hey, how you doing? Adrian, how you doing? Hey, Nikki, how you doing? Come on, how you doing, Adrian? How you doing? No, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm Italian. I am Italian.
Right.
How you doing?
I can see that. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Definitely. Yeah, I used to buy that mask where you just, it only went on part of your face and you painted it.
I loved it. I needed a reason to wear a short sleeve shirt back in the 80s. And put
show off your muscle.
Put, you know, black stuff under my eyes.
Oh, your eyes, yes.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm going, I have to go to the grocery store after the show.
Okay.
And I have an idea for somebody to open up a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
Open up a small store.
All right.
And only allow 2 to 3 options per food item. Because there are way too many. You buy lettuce, for instance. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Way too many choices.
Well, yeah. I think you got, 6 different types of lettuce that you can buy?
I was going to buy a brand cereal, and it took me half an hour because I had to go through all the brand and the brand names to find the brand I wanted.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yogurt? Are you kidding me?
That's just another one.
Too many options.
There is. There's a lot of options.
I appreciate the time in which we live that we have the ability, and especially our country, to go and have those options.
Yeah, but there's just so many.
Do we really need 10 or 20 different bags of lettuce?
I don't think so.
No, I'm serious. We don't.
Put them all together.
Just give me 2 options. Actually, I just buy the head of lettuce now.
That's what you buy?
Bananas. There used to be, you go to buy bananas. Yeah. Now there's organic bananas. There's these. There's like 4 different type of organic bananas. I just want a banana.
Yeah, that's true.
In fact, I don't even want to buy 5 or 6 bananas. I just want to purchase 1 banana. Can you do that?
I've seen a lot of people do it.
Will they sell you just 1 banana, Nikki?
Yes, they will.
I think they should.
They will.
Yeah. You want to hear some more law?
Yes, I do.
What do you want to hear about? We are a law show, supposedly, the Todd Levitt Law Show.
We are a law show.
And I do want to thank all the listeners out there who contact my office and give us feedback and ideas of what we can talk about.
Yes.
But right now, people are just, they cannot get enough information in regards to what's about to happen in the state of Michigan. Now, banking laws.
Okay.
This is how half backwards it is. So in 2017, when you can start to apply for one of 5 different licenses.
Right.
You're going to start to have revenue.
Oh, of course.
As a business, like any business.
Right.
There needs to be, the federal government needs to get its act together and allow banks and credit unions to handle these funds.
Definitely.
What are businesses to do? Where are they supposed to bank? Banks and credit unions are regulated by the federal government. They're insured.
Right. Yeah,
federal
to have them.
Credit unions, not so much. But I'm asking out there, if you work at a bank, you run a bank, contact my office, let me know. I will if there's a bank out there that will accept funds from the business of cannabis, I will promote you for 4 weeks straight on this show. I get that question often.
Okay.
So not only do we need banking for this revenue.
Right.
People are going to be required to have 2 types of insurance.
Yes, they are.
So when you apply for a license, you're going to have to show that you have this insurance policy. Okay.
Okay.
As well as disclose a lot of other things.
Yes, you will.
If you have filed bankruptcy within the last number of years, if you have been charged with a misdemeanor within the last 5 years, you will be prevented and excluded from filling out an application to obtain a license.
Wow.
Felony, 10 years.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is Lara is overseeing the creation of the marijuana board, which will consist of 5 members. Those 5 members over the next 5 to 6 months, hopefully, we'll sit down and start to develop all the regulations and procedures so that the public and us attorneys know how to proceed.
Oh, definitely. They'd have to.
But back to the banking. Where do people bank?
Yeah, the banks have to allow this, or there has to certain ones that...
They can't. The federal government will not allow it. My problem is, you know,
with the laws changing, the government's going to have to change that law.
The federal government still classifies marijuana under the wrong schedule. That's the problem.
Well, when the bill's signed within this year, before anybody can apply, that's going to have to change.
The bill was already signed. It's law.
So it's going to have to change.
The law takes effect 90 days after September 21st.
Right.
This December.
Right.
But that doesn't give you the right to go and do anything because you have to wait a whole year before you can apply for anything because they have to get everything together.
Correct.
I feel a year.
The time that all these laws should change.
I feel a year thereafter is when everything's going to be recreationalized. And it's actually a good thing. Get everything in place. Don't make it such a mess.
Oh, yeah. It's a mess now.
But you're still going to have to be 21 years or older, so there's still going to be a lot of wrongdoing.
Well, it's going to happen, but these laws need to be changed.
So, bankers, quickly. I'm going to give you a free month of publicity if you can give or contact my office so I can inform the people. I like to think we are the voice of the people, Nikki.
We are.
This show literally is not a solicitation for my business. It's a show for the people.
Right. And you're giving them the information that they need to hear.
I'm the voice of the people for the people.
You are.
But I don't want to run for office.
No.
Not at all.
That's a lot of work.
They try to. If I ran for office and was elected, they'd run me out of office. No, not the people, but all the people who are trying to hold on to power.
Yes, they would.
I wouldn't mind being a U.S.
like the competition.
You know what? I would not mind being a U.S. senator. I would just completely go rogue.
You would overhaul everything.
No, I would not. I would not comply with any party line. Or any message. I would do exactly what the people of Michigan want me to do.
Yeah, that's just that nobody else is listening to the people.
Never.
That's it.
They don't care.
Don't listen to the people.
And then they get to office and they still don't care.
No, they don't. Because they're in. What do they care now?
They're in. They got health insurance. Oh, health insurance. Here, can I complain again? I hate to complain, folks, so much.
I got my letter notifying me that.
Oh, I pay, ready for this, for just me, $850 a month. That's what Obamacare has done to my health insurance. I am paying for the other 20 million people to be freeloaders on the government back on hard work and men and women such as myself and our listeners.
Yeah, I just got a letter in the mail saying mine's going up $45 in January.
I used to pay.
How can I afford this?
For the same health insurance, and I do have the best plan.
Well, you do.
But hold on. I used to pay around $273 and change a month. And now, folks, because of Obamacare, I'm not just making this up. It's $850 a month.
That's just robbery.
I just received about a $75 increase.
And I got the $45 increase.
Like, really?
Come on.
I mean, come on. And here's the thing.
Now I'm figuring it out. You know what? It's cheaper for me to take the penalty than to pay this every month. But if it wasn't for my diabetes supplies that I need, I wouldn't be able to afford them.
You can't take the penalty because here's the thing. You have to have insurance because you have diabetes.
Yes.
And if you don't have insurance, you're screwed.
Yeah.
The problem is we were promised that the marketplace would open up and we would have 50 different options to purchase insurance, which brings the cost down.
Correct.
There are three options, folks, in the state of Michigan on the marketplace. If you're looking for insurance in Michigan, you have three options. If you pay for yourself.
Right.
Not through your company, yourself, such as I do.
Right. So do I.
You have the gold. You have the silver and the bronze plan. And here's the thing. They're only within $100 apart, and they're all three expensive.
They are.
And it's based on the factors. It's crazy what it's based on.
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't even know why it's going up.
I'm happy. You know what? I have no problem paying a little bit extra to help my fellow citizens who maybe are disabled or a single mother or a single father.
Certain
maybe
citizens,
laid off. I have no problem.
Right.
But an increase of $500 plus over 2 years?
There's no reason for that. There's no reason. There's too much.
I'm not happy.
I can see.
And I lost the stick figure contest. After the show, here's what we're doing. We're going shopping. We're going to buy some Lucky Charms. Because I want Lucky Charms.
Okay.
And I'm going to take all the cereal out and just eat the marshmallows.
I love the marshmallows.
Wait, let me ask you a question. Does Lucky Charms just make the marshmallows?
You know what? My boyfriend's daughter, I was helping them reorganize their kitchen. She's got a bag of just the marshmallows. I got to find out where she got them because I wanted to take them home with me.
It's like the crunch berries. I don't want the crunch. I just want the berries. Give me a box of... Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a
berries
box
and marshmallows.
And then we're going to draw stick figures.
Okay.
And we have to go to break, so we'll be right back.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting into my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Hey, it's Halloween.
Yes, it is.
When is Halloween?
Lots of candy.
No, when?
Tomorrow.
Oh, Monday?
Yeah.
Falls on a Monday?
It falls on a Monday.
I would like to have a Devil's Night reunion with all my guys in the neighborhood I grew up with off of 10 Mile.
Okay.
I want a Devil. Do they still do Devil's Night?
I think downstate that you're going to get more of that than anything up here.
If anyone out there has young folks listening to the show, we're not recommending you do anything in regards to Devil's Night.
No.
Because recall the city of Detroit and Flint and other communities were on fire during Devil's Night for years.
Yes.
Are they? After living up here, I don't get that kind of news. Do they still have that issue?
I don't think they do. But I mean, there's still a lot of bad happening. But right now, the big deal is all these dang clowns that are out there threatening and scaring people or hurting them.
I think that was a fad a couple weeks ago.
There's still some going on in certain cities around here.
Clowns.
Yeah. They got the evil clown masks. And they're chasing people and physically hurt some.
I've watched videos where there's college campuses with 5,000 students chasing these clowns up into a tree.
Good. But yeah. There's been some who've gotten shot, so they better watch it.
Let's talk about Devil's Night back in the day. Here's what we used to do.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I know. The statute of limitations has told. So let's just say eggs. Cartons of eggs.
Eggs.
Which is horrible.
Toilet paper.
Eggs. Very difficult to get off a building and a garage door.
Yes.
I know based on the egg wars I used to have in my neighborhood with rival friends. Usually my older siblings of my friends.
Okay.
So we were younger, like freshmen or we were in eighth grade. We had the older siblings who were 16 and driving motor vehicles.
Right.
Just pelting us. So eggs. And here's another thing. I got my hands on. Do not do this.
Uh-oh.
Okay, folks, I'm in my 50s. This is what? How long ago when I was in my teens? I got my hands on a fire extinguisher.
Okay.
And by the way, you should never steal, remove, or take any fire extinguisher. They're there for a reason.
Yes, they are.
But back in, I graduated high school in 83, so this is way before I graduated high school. I wasn't even driving. I was in possession of one of those silver apartment complex fire extinguishers.
Wow.
I was a paper boy. I'll just say that.
Okay.
And we emptied it out. This is a horrible story. I don't want to be a bad influence. So we had a handful of these, okay?
Okay.
We had to combat the older guys, our older brothers and sisters who kept pelting us with eggs.
Okay.
We emptied them out. Then we filled them with water and pumped air into them.
Oh, my God.
They became the most amazing high-pressured squirt guns. They were so dangerous looking back on it now because the amount of pressure that was squirting out of those things. So my buddy's older brothers had an Econoline van. So they would drive by, those big white vans and just open it up. And then wherever we were at, they would just pelt us with balloons filled with, I don't know what was in the balloons and eggs and rocks.
Wow.
So we tried to get revenge with our high-powered squirt guns.
Hey, at least you tried.
Folks, please, do not do that.
Yeah, don't do this at home.
You're going to hurt someone. You're going to take out someone's eye. We had no idea what we were doing. We were young and dumb.
Yeah, don't be young and dumb.
Yeah, and we never did. We, for 10, 20 years, we tried to take out the streetlights with rocks and boulders because you had to go, for those of us that grew up in the city, when the streetlight came on, you had to go inside.
That's right. It was time to go home.
I would like to go to my old neighborhood off of 10 Mile and just cut down that street light because my entire childhood, we sat there. I mean, people's landscape was just destroyed because we'd go around the neighborhood and fill up bags of stones and rocks and just pelt the heck out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
But we could never break it.
No, I don't. There's some heavy-duty lights.
Again, do not try this. If you're listening to the show and you have kids, kids, do not do that.
No, and plus, there's so many cops out there patrolling and everything nowadays, you're going to get caught.
Well, even if they weren't patrolling,
first of all, it's
public property. You don't want to destroy it. It's a felony and or misdemeanor to destroy property that doesn't belong to you.
That's true.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Okay.
You're a tenant.
Yes, I am.
and you live with someone.
Okay.
And you're both tenants.
Okay.
But your name's not on the lease. But you've been there for 2 months, so you're a tenant.
Right.
And then you leave, and you get in a fight with your roommate. And your roommate changes the lock.
Okay.
And you come home from work, the locks change, you break the window. You go through the window, the neighbor calls the police, they come out and see that you broke the window, your name's not on the lease. Are you charged now with home invasion and malicious destruction of property?
I'm going to say no.
Why?
Because I live there.
Exactly. You cannot. How can you be charged with a crime when you have a legal right to be there?
Yeah, if I live there and I have proof that I live there, because usually if you live someplace, your ID says that you live there.
How do we go from devil's night to landlord tenant?
I have no idea.
Where did that come from?
ADD.
No, I'm upset about my stick figure, the loss of my stick figure contest.
That still has nothing to do with tenants.
Is there a guidebook on how to draw a stick figure somewhere?
You know what? I'm pretty sure there is.
How do you lose a competition when you're just drawing a stick figure?
Somebody drew better hands, apparently.
But no, you're back to the landlord-tenant issue.
Yeah.
The reason this popped in my head, I don't know. I received a call last week in regards to this issue.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Somebody was concerned that they were going to get charged with a crime because they broke in to a home or a resident where they had a legal right to stay.
Yeah, so if they lived there and their belongings are in the house, then that's theirs.
Exactly.
They should not be charged with anything.
Nothing.
No.
They're a tenant.
They got locked out.
And even if your name's not on the lease, you're still a tenant because you stay there.
Correct.
Could be month to month.
It could be.
I always tell people you cannot kick your children out of the house. Remember when you were younger, you had a friend or two that got kicked out of their house?
I had a lot of friends who did, and a lot of my daughter's friends who got kicked out as soon as they turned 18.
I wish I knew now what I knew then. Wait, I wish I knew then what I know now. What?
There you go.
Whoa, where was that? I would have said to my mother, you can't kick me out of the house. I'm going to go get a stick with a little bag on the end like Charlie Brown.
Okay. And then technically she couldn't kick you out, but that was a big threat by a lot of parents.
Big threat.
It was.
I'm going to kick you out.
And my mom never did.
I'm not going anywhere, Mom and Dad. You have to evict me.
Yeah, that was weird hearing when we had that on our past show that you said that they actually do have to serve an eviction notice.
You do.
I never would have thought of that with your own children because usually they move out and do go to college. So.
Here's some other, want some other law?
Yes.
We are a law show, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Feature Nikki Morissette finishing strong last segment. I think one of the worst things that somebody can do is go into business with your boyfriend or girlfriend or purchase real property.
Okay, going into business, I totally agree with.
Or purchasing real property, a house, a piece of land.
You should be married before you do that.
Because, look, I hope everybody out there has great relations.
Well, yes, definitely.
But I field phone calls over the last 23 years, almost 23 years, from couples time and time again. And I have to refer these cases out because I don't practice this type of law, who purchased a home together as a couple. Their name is both on the mortgage.
Okay. And they're not married, correct?
And maybe one is on the deed, but they're both on a mortgage and the deed is in one of their names. They're not married. Now they're broken up. The mortgage company is not going to let either one of them out. Now they're stuck.
They are stuck.
They're stuck. Think about that.
Don't
what
buy
are your
property
options?
Until you're married.
Am I
don't
right?
Do it. You're
or,
right.
I have the story where the man or woman purchases a vehicle for the other one when they're together. And so I purchase a vehicle and it's in my name. You're my girlfriend and you're driving it around.
Okay.
Okay. But you're making the payments.
Correct.
But it's in my name.
It's your vehicle.
The title is in my name.
It's your vehicle.
So long. Even if you're paying for 3 years, the deed controls, the title controls.
Right. So that is technically your vehicle.
It is my vehicle.
Unless there's another contract written up, I would think, between me and you saying I'm making the payments and once the final payment's made, you transfer it over to me.
I'm going to go on the record and say the title controls.
Even if it's a side contract?
I'm not a contract attorney, but if I had to take a shot at it, I do not believe that a separate contract can override what's on a title. You would have to, the title controls in court.
Okay.
Now, a separate contract may be an indication of an agreement that did take place. And if there's money involved, you could present your case to the judge or jury and see if they'll issue an award.
Correct.
But I'm not a civil attorney.
Right. But that would just be another stipulation, the only way to figure out, you know, to have something else resolved.
I would always get everything in writing.
Definitely.
How do you enter an agreement and not put it in writing? That's the first thing I would say to somebody. Nick, was it in writing?
Right. You can't go by handshakes anymore.
No, I paid
that
cash.
That don't work.
I wish it could.
I wish it could, but nowadays...
Old school.
Stuff does not work that way anymore.
No. And by the way, just let me reiterate, do not knock out lights. Anybody's light. Headlights, streetlights, any lights. I was talking about a story that happened 40 years ago.
Right. No egg in any houses.
No
either.
Egg in houses. Don't even... You know what?
Don't even TP.
No, TP is so valuable. Why would you waste toilet paper?
No kidding.
No, seriously.
Seriously.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, toilet paper's not cheap anymore.
Speaking of toilet paper, we pay a lot of taxes to the state of Michigan. You know, my beef with the state is, can you please, and I'm not trying to be funny, folks, can you please increase the quality of the toilet paper at the rest stops throughout the state
Isn't
of Michigan?
Isn't it horrible?
You might as well use sandpaper.
Yes, it's horrible.
I'm serious. I'm going to dress up as a roll of toilet paper.
I carry Kleenex in my car when I stop at a rest stop.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dress up as a roll of toilet paper for Halloween, and it's going to be really crappy, and people are going to say to me, what are you for Halloween? Are you a roll of toilet paper? I'm going to say, yes, I'm state-issued toilet paper that you find at rest stops. That's my beef. Michigan, we want better toilet paper.
Okay.
I'm not beefing for better education and better roads, better toilet paper. Karen, do you agree?
Yeah, I hear her in the background.
I hear Karen agreeing with me on that. Hey, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
I just want to say, what a great show.
It was a great show.
We have some huge shows coming up.
Yes, we do.
No.
Yes, we're going to.
Holy cow shows.
Yes. It's getting better.
What's getting better?
Our shows.
I think our shows are always good.
Well, they're getting better and better and better. There we go.
No.
We're getting more listeners, too.
We don't really know, truthfully, how many listeners we have.
I think 55 sounds good.
55?
That sounds
good.
Did
Sammy Hagar say, I can't drive 55?
Yes.
We need one more listeners. Hey, Nikki, everybody have a safe, healthy, happy Halloween. Be sure to tip your waitstaff on the way out. Without further ado, Nikki, I'm not just a litigator.
You're an advocator.
Take us out, Nick.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend for 97th District. Send a doctor to the house. And by Innovative Insulation Systems. For those cold and hot days, make sure your insulation pays.